A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel. And today we're going to be looking at Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game, and other games.
I thought we were just going to be reviewing the movie. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. No stars.
Really?
Yeah, it's not really for me.
Zero stars.
No, I don't know. Like two?
Two stars? That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I like some of the music's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
How many stars?
Look, I could watch it again for.
Yeah, I watched it, I think, sometime in the last 18 months. Some of it doesn't hold up, but I also think that as an adult watching it, you get more out of it.
Michael Cera grew into a sort of weirdo, so yeah. Maybe more stars, actually.
I think Michael Cera may be the weakest part of that film, but that's not a hot take. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. I'm going to also give it 4 stars.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so in 2010, cool. Let's cast our mind back to August 2010.
Whoa,
done.
I'm only turning 13 years old.
Yeah, oh my God. Happy 13th birthday, Jackson. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my God.
Happy birthday to you.
This is so lovely.
Happy birthday.
Because I didn't get one in 2010.
Jackson, you're 13 today. Happy birthday to you. August 2010, where Jackson turned 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the current gen was the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. And we could not even imagine an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5.
Couldn't comprehend it.
Don't understand.
Thinking about a Nintendo Switch was known to give people nosebleeds.
It'd pop your brain.
Yeah, they didn't know. Anyway... Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game came out, and everyone was like, hey, this is...
okay.
This is legit pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was a digital-only game, and everyone was like, yeah, no, this is sick. And then December 2014 rolled around, and it got delisted. And if you owned it and you deleted it, you couldn't re-download it. You couldn't buy it again. You couldn't transfer it over to new systems.
Really the PT of its time.
Yeah, it's Scott Pilgrim and PT are like two of the... games that people held on to a PS3 for.
Why did it get delisted? What happened?
Yeah.
Similar to, I think, like Deadpool, the game for a bit, like the copyright expired.
Did not help me or Jackson, but okay.
I'm just spiral.
It's just like, because you...
Got to learn about PT, got to learn about Deadpool, got to learn about copyright now. Oh, man.
The licensing expires and then they stop making it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the licensing for Scott Pilgrim expired.
That was the moment Jackson checked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The licensing expired.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In my head, I'm just imagining, you know, when you get like a high pressure hose, putting that in a turtle's mouth, popping it out the shell.
Yeah.
It's a quick way to get a turtle shell.
So you know how you have your L's?
Uh-huh.
But you don't have your full license yet.
Yeah.
But your L's have an expiry date.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
don't get to anything by the expiry date, too bad. You can't go anywhere.
Good on you for persevering. Like,
well, I turned it into a more of an attack. And
that's true. That's good. That's clever.
Yeah. Basically, for the last 8 years or whatever, you haven't been able to buy it.
Mm.
And if you had previously owned it and then got rid of your console, you couldn't get it again. But hey, they released Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game complete edition on January 14, 2021, the year of this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it on the Switch. I hadn't played the original one, but I'd heard lots of good things. I'd heard that I had friends that had kept their PS3 because they loved the game
so much.
Wow.
Yeah. With PT, you can't, even if you kept it on your PS3, I don't think you could play it after a certain point, right?
No, you can still play it.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I remember, I thought I read some with it. You couldn't.
No, well, if you deleted it.
Yeah, maybe that was
you
it.
You couldn't re-download it. So if you uninstalled it at any point, even though you owned
that,
it.
That was
you
done.
Yeah, you were gone. Mm. But yeah, let me tell you, everyone was like, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, it's a great game. And I played it and I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good game. Yeah.
It's like a brawler, right?
Yeah, it's a beat-em-up. It's like a beat-em-up kind of similar to like the game I reviewed a couple of months ago, Streets of Rage
4. Yeah.
Except that there's an overworld map that looks kind of like Super Mario Bros. 3. That's like 16-bit. Because this is the complete edition, there's heaps and heaps of different characters. You don't just have to play as Wiener Boy Scott. Yes. You can play as famous hot girl Ramona Flowers.
Yes.
Flamboyant man Wallace.
Yes.
Kim the drummer. Steven the singer.
Yeah. Knives.
Knives was DLC originally, but she is available in the complete collection.
Gideon.
No, he's a bad guy.
Oh. Sometimes they'll let you play as a bad guy.
Why? Maybe if you beat the game. I think you unlock the bad version of Scott if you beat the game with all the characters.
Bad version of Scott.
Like Shadow Scott.
Yeah. You know, and then they become friends at the end of the game.
Oh, yes. No, yeah.
That movie,
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone that said this was good was right. Although, this does not feel like a brand new game.
Okay.
It looks good still. Especially on the Switch and playing in handheld, which is exclusively what I've done. Sounds great. But oh boy, there are some mechanics that are like, I felt like a middle finger come through my Switch and just press against my face.
Like what? What? Yeah. So, just like dated mechanics?
I remember playing it when it came out with...
Jackson's 13th birthday. When we didn't go to Jackson's birthday party, we refused. We RSVP'd yes.
I was like, little boy who I do not know, enjoy this spit that I sent you.
Oh,
as you can
man.
See, this piece of paper was a little bit moistened. That was my spit I sent. And I assume it's dry by now.
I just said I was coming, make me two party bags, and then I didn't show up.
But I remember playing it with my housemate at the time, and we had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Trying to remember some of the mechanics. I know there was coins involved.
Yeah, so the coins, chill, money, good. Because there's an upgrading system. It's not like most beat-em-ups where it's just like, whatever you got.
Here's a bat, go to town.
Yeah. It's not like the enemy. Oh, yeah. What? So there's a leveling system. So you get XP from fights, and every time you get to a new level, you unlock a new move.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also stats. And you'd think that leveling upgrades your stats. You would be incorrect. And in fact, you would be a moron idiot.
Okay.
What upgrades your stats?
Items that you buy with the coins. So there's shops scattered amongst the levels.
Yeah, I remember them.
And if you go into the shops, they sell items. They sell, so like a coffee shop, it sells like a cappuccino, a latte, a grande espresso, or whatever.
Yeah.
But some of those upgrade your stats. Ask me how you know.
How do you know?
You have to buy them and find out, because you do not get told until you purchase
that's
the item.
That's crazy, because what if you're trying to buff like a particular stat?
They're good pricey, as well. Like, it takes a while to get the
some of them are pricey. The first shop you get into the game is a video shop, and it's very early on, and you would have, I reckon at that point, max $15 to $20, and the first item you come across is Scott Pilgrim's overdue video fees, which is $507.
Okay.
A little trick with that one is if you pay that, then all the stuff you unlock after that is way cheaper. But I haven't done that, and I have no interest in doing it.
Is it kind of like similar to like another game that sort of maybe came out at the same time, like Binding of Isaac, where you kind of got like little power ups, but you had no idea what they did? I'm playing this with an open like Scott Pilgrim the video game wiki help.
I have been playing this with an open what do the items do help.
Yeah.
Just so like, because like the game tells you when you buy it, which is fine. But
you don't want to waste money on something that's not going to do shit for you.
Which like at first I was doing it, and because like there's also a hidden shop that I found where everything's about $100 each, and they clearly would do big things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is like 10, anywhere between like $5 and $20. And every enemy you kill, you get anywhere between like 75 cents to like $2 or $3.
Yeah.
So like you accrue money pretty quickly, not $500 quickly, but. So like, I have no real issue with like scrolling through and buying stuff and being like, okay, that didn't do what I wanted. But After they tell you the description after you buy it,
yeah.
It doesn't stay there. So if you forget and you go back into the shop, you
buy the same item twice.
Did I love this? Did I want this?
Did this help me?
Yeah, but like, I want to buff my strength a bit more because this boss is like taking, like, I can't weather enough of his hits.
Yeah.
What gave me strength again? Was it the tacos? Was it the nachos? Was it the...
Oh, it's probably the nachos.
Yeah.
Speed. Not what I wanted.
Quicker.
Harder.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, there was a time, I think, when like a lot of video games did that, where you basically had to have the wiki open.
Yeah.
To be like, what does what item do? I do not understand.
Yeah, you had to take that. And so many games, I think, these days, it's such a weird genre of game. And I don't think... Scott Pilgrim kind of falls into it, but there are games that are way worse at it, where it's like... You can't play the game without having a wiki open. Like, it's like, what do you do?
Well, like, Minecraft was like that for a while.
Yeah,
Minecraft is probably the game that started it, maybe?
Yeah, and then Minecraft, I think, added a bunch of, like, tool tips to help you on your way and stuff. But, like, early on, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know
any crafting, like,
game. Ark, Survival Evolved feels like, probably.
Yeah. I feel like that game gets either mentioned in our real life a surprisingly high amount or has come up on the show multiple times, but none of us have played
it. I feel like I've had people tell me to play it, but it is the ugliest game I've ever seen.
Is that also a movie coming out? Or did Vin Diesel just appear in the game?
Vin Diesel's coming is in the sequel.
Oh. To what? Ark?
Yeah.
But they made a sequel and everyone found out that it was just Ark again. Remember that?
Yeah. That's,
they were like, it's Ark, but fantasy. And everyone was like, whoa. And then someone was like, wait a second. This is the exact same game with, like, nothing has changed with a skin and everyone, then Ark or whoever
see that horse got wings.
Yeah, wasn't it revealed that it was clearly, they went into the coding and the game was, clearly meant to be DLC, but then they instead released it for a full price game.
And, like, made all these promises that just weren't true about it at all. And it wasn't even, like, connected. It wasn't like Ark 2 or anything. It was just like... Hey, it's a brand new fantasy game by the people who made Ark. Suck shit, dirtbags. It's Ark again.
Yeah. Well, in this situation, though,
I respect the hustle.
Oh, that rules.
Well, this one, it definitely is Ark 2, I think. Anyway, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
I've played a lot of beat 'em ups in the last, like, 2 years, surprisingly. I've played Streets of Rage 4. I've played Battletoads to completion.
Yeah.
I've played Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl.
Yeah, classics in the genre all.
Scott Pilgrim. And Scott Pilgrim is definitely the most interesting of those four when it comes to mechanics and stuff like that. Streets of Rage 4 is probably feels a lot better to play, but is significantly harder.
Okay.
Do
you think you'll finish Scotty Pilgrim?
Scotty P?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think so. I did struggle. First of all, I hit a glitch at the end of the second boss fight where I did something that meant that the cutscene didn't trigger, so I was just stuck and I had to restart the level, and that was annoying because the boss fight was hard. But then I did it again next go, and I feel good about that. But I don't know. I feel like that it's definitely the type of game where I could hit to a point where I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm not very good at beat 'em ups, even though I did famously beat Battletoads.
I remember.
Yeah. I heard about that.
So I don't know. Depends if I get too far and it gets too hard and I just give up.
I think, is it the kind of thing where if like another, like say Super Mario World Bowser's Fury or whatever came out, would you?
Because it's a lot of cats in Bowser's Fury, it is really hard not to call it Bowser's Fur.
I want to.
Yeah, like is it not even as a joke?
Fighting
just
instincts.
Like,
I'm like, that would feel more natural. Yeah. But like if that came out and you were like, oh, that's a bit fun, you might just sort of like abandon Scotty.
Yeah. Delete Scott Pilgrim, throw it into this, throw my Switch into the sea.
Yeah.
And then fish it out again, I guess, to play the game we're talking about.
Oh, it's broken. Got to take it to one of those guys who dries it out for
you. I will say, though, it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's, I think, $20 Australian, which is
good
because it would have been very easy to be like, well, this game's very hyped. Mm. People haven't been able to buy it for 8 years, and it's a complete collection that includes all the DLC, $35.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, $20. Yeah. That's pretty good. And yeah, like it still looks really good and sounds really good, which I was surprised by. Controls, again, a little bit janky. With the, if you're playing with the Switch, like D-pad button things, it's not a D-pad, that, you know, the directional
buttons.
I know
what you mean. Yeah.
You have to double tap to run, which is fine. That's very normal. But with the analog stick, controller stick.
Yeah.
Analog stick.
You're freaking out about buttons here, man. D-pad also, I think, is fine.
Yeah, D-pad's fine. You can say D-pad.
It's a directional pad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a D-pad.
But yeah, if you're playing with the controller stick and you go to, sometimes you're dashing accidentally and sometimes
With the analog stick, do you have to, to R3 it? Do you have to click it in to run? I remember that was a trend for a while, and it's awful because it hurts so much to click in and move.
First-person shooters still do it.
Why do they have an option not to run, you know?
Maybe you want to take smaller moves.
Is it to kind of have like an anchor point of like, this is your normal walking speed, but now you're zippy?
Well, it's like in like Red Dead and GTA, where you can, if you gently press on the analog stick, your character does a walk, but never in a million years in actual gameplay are you going to just like stroll around. It's weird. Yeah.
Immersion.
Yeah, I need
maybe
to feel
you're
like
role playing, you know?
I really am Trevor in San Andreas, you know?
Well, in Scott Pilgrim, you don't want to be dashing all the time because the one, that changes your moveset, and two, there is like some platformy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not crazy platforming stuff,
but still,
like,
there's a reason for it. Right. That's
like
fair.
A pit, and you got to jump over it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, no, I'm having a good time, and I've only played it single player, and I reckon that if I played it multiplayer, I'd like it a lot
that.
More.
True
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, have you played it with someone else?
No.
And how that would have affected it. Because, it is a lot of fun with two players. Mm. It reminds me very much of, because didn't it come out at the same time, or in my kind of brain, I'm like, it was this on like Castle Crashers?
I feel like
it was around the same.
Similar sort of like gameplay and like similar. Like if you were like, hey, yeah, Scott Pilgrim, the movie, the game or whatever was on Newgrounds, I'd be like,
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's a kind of like,
I've never played Castle Crashers, but I'm assuming what Joel Zammett's saying is correct.
Yeah, I think so. It's like the kind of like, there's a period of time where if you went to like a game night with the lads, like in high school or whatever, or like, you know, early out of high school, that might be what you played. Is the vibe anyway?
Yeah, it's that kind of like party game vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're sort of maybe locked up in maybe video game jail around the world somewhere,
pretty good to get
somebody, you might be like, hey, let's get Scott Pilgrim or Castle Crashers.
Cheeky.
Look, it's probably a four thumbs and a knock situation. Mm-hmm. Had a good time with it. And it's like, beat 'em up, sometimes I don't get like locked into. Like I'm very well aware, like very aware of the time and how much time is passing and stuff like that. Where like Scott Pilgrim, there's been a few times where I've been like, whoop, sucked in a bit.
Yeah. Sucked off a bit. That's good. That's no better recommendation than that you got sucked off by it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, this week I decided to not keep playing God's Fall. Greedful.
Is it because after your first impression you realize that maybe you don't like it?
No, it's just like, grab me. It was just kind of a thing where I'm like, well, what else is on that?
Yeah,
the Xbox,
that's never good.
Game Pass. And I remember you recommending this a while back when it dropped for Nintendo, and you were like, don't buy it for the Switch, it's on the Game Pass. And I was like, all right, I'll wait. And so I grabbed Spiritfarer.
Yes.
For the Xbox Game Pass. I'm kind of regretting not buying for the Switch because I feel this game would have been great.
Just go out again. Switch. It is $50 Australian dollars on the Switch.
I think it's now 30 odd.
Bargain.
I think it's $39.99. So
basically $30.
$40 Australian.
Is basically 25, basically $20.
It's basically free.
Everyone listening.
Yeah.
Don't buy, if you've got Game Pass, it's,
okay.
Well, do whatever you want. Throw your money away. Who cares?
In, I guess, a counter to that, the reason why I'm saying it's a lot of fun to play, it's just like, I think playing it handheld and on the move, I think this game would work really well. If we were still traveling a lot more or we were allowed to travel more, I'd be like, I hate that I can't play it on my Switch because I have it on. But no, it's a lot of fun. So the premise is that you have become a spirit fairy. You become...
It's in the name.
Chiron, the ferryman.
Souls
across the
Chiron.
Sea. Chiron?
Johnny Dead
Chiron.
Souls. Yeah.
Man, I played Hades so much, you'd think it would have...
Yeah, nah.
But
not,
nah,
no such
just,
luck.
Just in one here out the next, and I'm like, Chiron.
Chironi. My Chirono. Yeah.
So my Chirona, he's like, hey, I'm a ferryman and I'm retiring. So I'm going to go to the great beyond. You're the new spirit fairer. Pick up souls and enjoy. Bye.
Hell yeah.
And so he chuffs off.
Yeah.
And then the protagonist is Stella, and you have a cat called Daffodil.
Great.
And you have a little orb thingy, which is basically like the all tool. And depending what you're doing, it'll just transform into whatever tool you need, which is kind of cool.
Bombs?
I haven't got bombs yet. Sorry, dude.
All tools should be bombs as well.
Yeah.
Bombs, dynamite, can be used as a tool.
In mining, it's a tool, baby.
So if you're claiming that it's an all tool, it better include bombs.
So you start off and you get like a ship that you will slowly upgrade. It's kind of like a management sim at some points, but it's also kind of like a free roaming at the mouth.
Yes.
It's also a free roaming open world ship game. Why can I not think of what it is?
Yeah, but no, I get this because I remember seeing trailers for this. And I also remember when I saw trailers for this, I was like, Zammit, you got to play this game. And then you watch the trailer and you're like, looks like anime.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, let's draw the line there, Joel Zammit.
But yeah, but I every time I've seen a trailer for it, I've been like, what actually do you do in this game?
Yeah, so I'm just like trying to
Is it like Stardew Valley?
No, there's elements of Stardew Valley, but it's also it's more RPG as
well. Oh, okay. Mm.
So initially you get one spirit, and every like spirit is a kind of like vague ghost looking guy. Mm. And then when they are someone that you encourage onto your boat to then help them onto the afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
So basically it's a game all about death.
Yeah.
And it's also very, very slow paced. And so you get this person, they turn into like an anthropomorphic deer person.
Okay.
And then you kind of help them out. And so you can kind of like, you build a garden, it's several different kind of gardens that kind of grow different crops. And from there you got to like feed people. So at one point your uncle is there and he's like a big frog man. He's like, give me chicken. And I'm like, no worries, dude. I get to feed him chicken. That's nice.
Huh. So is it kind of almost like a hotel management sim?
In a weird way, but like you're kind of paying more attention to the guests. So you kind of go all around the world and you're sort of picking up upgrades, getting sort of money and... Yeah, doing sort of random quests. I got someone who was like pro-union, helped with like a union uprising, which was cool.
That's
and then
great.
They're like, come on my boat. And I'm like, yeah, sick. And then they turn into some kind of like cat thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's all right. And each person you got to build like a house for, and then you're slowly sort of getting things like, oh, so there's a mining aspect. So you got a different islands in your mine. You go to different islands, you get sort of wood and you can kind of turn them into planks and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And each thing require more upgrading.
And I feel so it's sort very of like, much, I think, like you, Dusha, when Zam was describing some RPG and Boons.
That was Hades, but then he also described it. I was like, does it look like Diablo? And everyone kept saying no. But then I like, looked at it and I was like, no, that's kind of what I meant.
Yeah.
But I'm also having that thing again where I was like, okay, I can sort of see what
I
he's trying
can't
to say.
Picture that what the game is like.
Does your guy look like a guy? Hang on, I'm gonna look up.
It's very cartoony.
Is it anime as you feared?
Yeah. It's not. No, it's not as anime as I had feared, which is nice. It was refreshing. Yeah, breath of fresh air. Like, phew.
Oh,
not anime.
No hands. Whew. Yeah.
But it is very slow paced. So you are basically like setting. It's got like a day night cycle, and like you are setting like course where you want to go into different islands. And so at certain points, you're like, you can only travel this far. Once you've unlocked a bit more of the map, you can go that far, and you are sort of going back and forth from the islands, and you sort of like. Meeting new people. I met a seal called Alex, and he's like, it's a cool name, but don't call me Alexander. That's a name for losers. And I'm like, yeah, right. He's got a sub
to
it.
That's true.
This is accurate.
So looking
and then, something you'd like. So you can like speak to a lot of the spirits, and like it is sort of, it's a game that's sort of funny, but it's not like a quip game.
Yeah,
you
know?
Like quip bloody minute. You're like, So it's like, just
have you laughed
around.
Out loud?
Well, no, because you're playing by yourself. When you watch a funny movie by yourself, are you ever laughing? The most you'll ever get is a...
Just
a quick exhale of breath. And so I came across two spirits, and they're on a bridge, and they're like, man, I love spitting off this bridge. Hope someone comes underneath it.
That is
spit
good.
In their face. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude, these rules. So that's what
is fun.
Good. There's also elements of like, sort of like the Metroidvario kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you can kind of get like a double
Metrovario.
Jump. Metroidvario?
Yeah, no, you're on the money.
Bullshit you guys kept calling it.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Now it's rude to me. I'm looking at gameplay images and it has not helped me because it just looks like scribble noughts.
Yeah, look fair. So like there's like a double jump.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You can kind of get there's like a glide. And so there's other things that you can kind of get as well.
What do you mean? Hang on. Sorry. Yeah, what do you mean you've seen it? You
I
just said
the trailer. But I still don't understand the minute-to-minute gameplay.
And like that's fair. Like even I'm not sure that I fully quite understand the minute-to-minute
You're playing
gameplay.
It.
Also it feels like
and just bumped my knee.
Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah, look, because yeah, I think I've played it for like a couple days in a row now, and it is a very slow-paced game, and I just don't know how long I am, because it just feels like I'm still learning.
That is a funny thing to say. I thought you were going to say, I don't know how far in I am. And I was like, yeah, no, that's a sensible. I don't know how long I am.
Yeah. How long am I?
Just like, well, actually, that's a funny thing about Scott Pilgrim. I didn't know how long I was in that either.
Yeah. It's like, how long am I going to be doing this for? I don't know. And it's just kind of like, it's quite a slow-paced game. And when you are traveling from, say, A to B, and it might take you, say, two nights.
Oh, wow.
You sort of just sit there and start fishing for a while.
Two nights game time, right? Yeah. Not two nights.
Two nights game time.
Yeah.
And when it gets to a certain point, it's like, so you can either, your ship will just stop in the middle of the sea and be like, it's too dark to navigate, so just chill.
Oh my
God. And so you can kind of do some stuff around the boat, or you just got to sleep until morning.
Has this made you sick?
Yeah, it sounds very frustrating.
It's not, I wouldn't say frustrating, just slow.
Yeah,
a slow-paced game, and it's meant to be a slow-paced game. Yeah, yeah.
I think it made me sick until I realized that I could do other stuff. Like, if the boat stopped and I can, like, go check my carrots or whatever, that's all right.
I recently just gotten some sheep that I can, like,
shear?
I was like, that I can shorn. No.
Uh-oh.
Present tense of shorn. Oh, God damn.
That's one of the tricky ones.
Present tense of the
I'm shearing.
Oh, yeah, shearing.
Will shear.
Yeah.
Shear these sheep.
I'm gonna shear.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. So it's just one of those things where you're sort of slowly upgrading. And I think if you played a lot of, say, management sims before or any of those kind of games where you are getting resources, I think you can kind of get it bit more ahead than you're meant to be.
Oh, yeah.
So at some point I'm like, oh, you need like these items to build these things. And I'm like, well, I'm so far advanced right now that I'm like, I haven't even seen, say, iron ingots, and I know I need them for this bit, and I'm not going to see them for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but like, apart from that, it's a really just a very chill game to kind of just play. I know it made up like a bunch of people sort of like, you know, top like best of 2020, and I can kind of see why. It is a very
sounds very unique, certainly.
Yeah, it's a very unique sort of game. I like the way you sort of like, you build your boat, you know, getting more and more space, and you can kind of just keep building as high as you want, and you can kind of then move things around.
That sounds like a fun element. Nice. I liked that in The Raft, which is, you know, also a boat building game. Very different.
Yeah, and because you are, you know, ferrying these spirits off to whatever happens after death. I haven't gotten to those points where I'm saying goodbye to these people that I've come to love, and I imagine that'll be emotional, like an emotional little tug of the heart there. But right now, they're all my good friends, and we're having a fun time.
It's so funny to think of this game, because I doubt Jackson will play it, but there are...
No.
There might have been a chance, like if we were traveling or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, saying goodbye to my friends, it would be an emotional thing. And Jackson will be like, I didn't even realize I was saying goodbye because I was just hammering A.
It'd be like, this person's leaving. And I'm like, who? What?
When did I get you?
Alternatively, it'd be reverse. You'd be like, where's that guy I used to feed chickens to? I don't know.
He's gone, I guess.
In terms of like sort of character development and sort of story, there has been a lot of effort put into each, new spirit you meet. They have all, like, you know, likes and dislikes, and they all have, like, different sort of skills. And you have a mood level. So if you make them more happy, say they're like, cool, well, I'm going to do some, you know, go to the loom and make you some
thread.
Does that
mean you can piss them off?
Yeah.
That's good, because I hated that in Stardew Valley. I couldn't piss anyone off. I couldn't become loathed, but maybe in this I could.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how, because again, I'm a natural good boy when it comes to video games. I try as I might to be a little angel, as opposed to you. So I guess whenever they wanted food,
if you just didn't give it to them. Well, what if the fella who wanted chickens, I was like, no.
Here's a pile of trash instead.
Eat, slurp up, idiot. You're just not feeding them. And there are people that, like, say, I got a snake and they're a vegan. So you offer them anything. They're like, no, thank you. I don't eat this. Mm. So, but I don't know what happens if you keep repeatedly offering them, say, pork chops.
Yes.
Maybe they do get annoyed at you.
I reckon that this will be the same as Stardew Valley.
You reckon where? And it just, it's like always going to be neutral or a bit lower and go up. There's no going down. No matter how many times I hit the old man out the front of the slime cave every morning, he remains neutral toward me.
There's also like a hug feature. So when you talk to them, you can give people lovely hugs, which is nice.
That is probably the worst feature you've listed so far.
Leave
them alone.
Your cat is around as well, who helps you out. And
dead
so
cat. Back on board.
It's nice. So occasionally, are like, you dead? You have to interact. Of course you're dead. You're a spirit fairy.
Okay,
come
so
on,
everyone's dead.
Everyone's yeah, dead.
Dude. No, but like God's dead?
Yes, they're dead.
Well, they're sort of outside the whole dichotomy of
which
alive
is why
dead,
I was
right?
asking. Yeah? But apparently you're dead. I would have assumed the spirit.
God is dead.
God's certainly not alive.
Yeah, so he's definitely dead. So the way it works is as you're going through the world, whatever like the background is, if you can interact with it, sort of glows up with an outline, and you can just like sort of hit X or whatever and interacts with it, which is great. But then sometimes you're not quite there, and your cat gets in the way, and you give it a hug. So
that's
kind of nice.
It sort of feels like the kind of game where because it feels like a lot of different games mixed together to make one, and if every individual element that's mixed was your favorite part of that kind of game. It's so easy to see why it would end up in people's top 10 game lists.
Yeah, like there are little like mini games throughout it as well. So when you're smelting iron, that's like a bit of a mini game. And that's kind of fun. And there's a way you can kind of like say, I didn't realize it at first, but rather than say putting like one iron ore, you put like max 5, so you get 5 instead of 1, so it kind of churns it out quicker. Oh, yeah. And there is that element of like cooking as well, so you can combine different food items to get a different sort of food. And each one has a bit of a different mini game. Like, well, not cooking. Cooking is just to chuck it in and wait.
Yeah.
But there's like a ballow system when it comes to the iron ore, so you have to kind of like balance it the right temperature. For making your plants grow by playing music, which I was only able to do once in the tutorial when the vegan snake was like, sing to these things, I was like, okay, it ends up being more of like your Guitar Hero type thing where you have to kind of keep pressing like a rhythm game. And I was like, oh, okay.
Now but I'm back on board.
I don't know how to get back to that mini game because like, play this with your crops and they'll grow. And I'm like, sick. And then it was like, press this button or something near crops. And I'm like, I forgot which button. And I've tried pressing buttons, but it doesn't come up again. So maybe I should have read
a bit
more.
Maybe you cooked it.
Yeah, maybe I cooked it. And then there's like the loom, which is again more of like a time thing where you pull back and then you got to release X at the like sort of
time. That's nice. I always enjoy that. I always think it's crazy. And like, I know it's such a weird example, but in Skyrim, how lock picking has a mini game, but like nothing else does.
No, I kind of agree.
I always thought that was weird. Yeah, and I guess any Bethesda game that has lock picking, they're
lock
like,
picking is a fun thing. Everything else, you just be like X to do it.
Yeah, you're just pressing buttons. It's not the same.
So there's like a lot of different elements, and it's a kind of like it's a fun game, and I'm trying to like recommend it to certain people, and I'm like, I think you'd enjoy it, or I think you'd enjoy elements of it, but because there is also this sort of storyline,
like
I don't know if I would recommend it to you, Jack.
Yeah,
I think you'd enjoy aspects of it, and you might actually enjoy the game, but I don't know how much
I think
enjoy
it's the kind of game I would
storyline.
I could play for like 2 sessions, and then I'd get distracted. I'd want to move on.
Yeah,
is kind of the vibe I'm getting.
And like, so when I was playing with it, and like, you know, so my partner plays games very similar to you, Jack.
Yeah.
She hammers that.
Who cares
that
about story?
X
it's for chumps.
She don't care. Yeah. And so I'm like, I think you'd like this because there's elements of that sort of Stardew Valley where you're sort of like tending to your crops and sort of like that management kind of thing. But there is that story element where you got to talk to these folk and
I don't
want
to talk to anyone. That sounds awful.
What if this game was just an empty boat and you have to make the boat? That's the raft. Never mind.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's a lot of fun and it's a very easy game to relax to.
Like
if you're looking for like, you know, a high octane sort of like a Doom Eternal where you just want to be like
all the skin still hasn't grown back from my head from when I finished that game. Just blew my face clean off.
Yeah.
Just, you know, streamlining V or Monster into your veins. This game not for you. But if you kind of really want like a chill kind of session and that's what you're gonna like, you know, just turn your brain off as and just kind of have a lovely time, I would recommend
How many thumbs? What are we talking?
For me, I would say it's definitely a 5-thumber.
Whoa.
It's a lot of fun. Like
it his game of the year so far.
Yeah, I don't think we've given out many 5-thumb. I mean, it's pretty early into the year, but still.
I mean, it is last year's game. Yeah. But I am playing it now.
My game of the year both came out in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with Thumb
Cramps. That's a good point. You're right.
Did you play it this year?
I did.
And anything better than it so far?
Not yet.
The game of the year. Which makes it 10 thumbs.
Oh, yeah. Well, 10 thumbs it is. But it is kind of like, I think to complete it, it's around about like 20-hour mark.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of like quite long for a game that like looks quite simple and the gameplay is quite simple. So.
Yeah.
But again,
it is nice to hear 20 hours because like Stardew Valley, if you were to look up how long to beat, it would be like 160. And then without realizing, have started strangling myself.
Yeah. You open your eyes and you're underwater somewhere.
I'm like, damn, I'm drowning myself.
Mm. Yeah. What is like, sort of like the perfect sort of, I guess, hour in terms of like game completion for you guys? And I mean like actual finish it, not like, you know, 100%. I'm talking any percent.
Okay, but because there are specific games that if it doesn't matter how long it is,
shut
I'm
up,
enjoying.
15 to 30.
See, I was going to say 10 is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
For like a game that I don't have to love, but then I can comfortably finish, 10 hours is perfect
if
for
it's
me,
got a story, 15 to 30 is good, but I also do like, I mean, obviously there's like a lot of indie games I like that are around 5 hour mark.
Yeah.
I guess for a big game.
Like a good meaty game you can real get, you know, sink your teeth into.
Ape Out, Hotline Miami, and games like that that I've spoken heaps about, they're about a 5 hour game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, see, I really like those sort of games that are that, you know, like 20 hours or 25. Anything more, you're like, games I adore and games I love and games that are coming out soon that I know I will love and enjoy. Like, again, Baldur's Gate 3, I'm like, what a fun game for the genre I love and for the game series I really like. That's like 120 hours. Yeah. This is going to be fun, ain't it? It will be.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
yeah, for sure. I've recently got Red Dead for the PC, and I was like,
congratulations on your purchase.
Thank you so much, guys. I was like,
don't you have it for your PlayStation?
Yeah, I do, but I want to.
Do you still have a PlayStation?
Yeah, I got the company's one. It's pretty
congratulations.
Sick.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're not going to yell at him for fine. He's a garbage yelling at me for even thinking about having it on a Switch.
No, because the difference is he had it on the PS4.
Yes.
And then, Jackson, what have you been doing when you've been playing it on PC?
Streaming it.
Yeah.
That was
an income.
PC. Yeah. It's not that popular. But people don't love it that much. Twitch.tv/JacksonBailey. What are you doing? Come watch me. I'm funny. thinking about playing the single player for that, I was like, that sounds so hellish to get back. No, thank you. Even though I know I'd enjoy it. I'm just not in a million years.
And also, I will say, a bit different from what I tried to stop you from doing, because you were like, I don't know if I like this game, trying to slam $40 into your Switch. And I was like, try it on your Xbox.
But this Switch won't accept cash.
Just slamming $20.
Yeah, like an ape.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing. So,
and no pressure, but in this episode so far, I've described a game where the sole mechanic is literally punch-ons and Zamet was a sad, slow game.
Okay. Yes.
That was hard to understand when he was describing. And there was a lot to describe. Well, I realized that my reviews in Thumbcramps, I was like, I review a lot shorter than the others, but that's because I never am reviewing a game where I'm like, right, so with this part, this is how
you never
it
there's never enough mechanics for you to have to take
like,
a long time.
It's Zelda, you Link, you have a sword, you know.
You've played it.
It's a punch-on, you hit for it.
You've played
it's pretty easy.
With Scott Pilgrim, there's a light punch and a heavy punch. Any more questions?
I didn't even want to know that.
Anyway, what are you playing?
Yeah.
So, as everybody knows, me and Levins from All the Small Games, another wonderful video game, a better video game review podcast.
It's one of the reviews games, that's for sure. Something the Thumbcramp sometimes doesn't quite clear the bar for.
We have the deal where obviously starting last year we have to play each other's game of the years, and I was very frightened. I thought that Levin's game of the year was going to be The Last of Us 2, a game I really don't want to play. And I saw as well that Levin's had downloaded for the Nintendo Switch Podracer, very exciting. But then I discovered that actually his game of the year was Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which I started playing. And it's clear that they have taken some cues from Hollow Knight. I think you were saying, JD, that Hollow Knight was inspired by the first Ori, and clearly the second Ori is inspired by Hollow Knight. It's very recursive. So it's just Ori again, and it's weirdly similar to the first Ori. I don't know. You played it, Zama, didn't you?
I played Ori, and I finished it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I liked it as much as you. Weirdly, I know you didn't finish it.
Yeah. I did my classic thing where I got to the end and was like, well, I don't need to finish the game. You know?
Because, I enjoyed it for some of the gameplay and, like, the sort of story. It was quite nice. But then I felt like it felt a little empty.
Yeah.
It felt like it was, like, an 85% of a game. Like, I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. There's something lacking.
Well, see, I felt the same thing with the first story because it was kind of like you would get your sort of main power-ups or whatever.
Your Metroid Vario power-ups that would let you access different parts of the game. But other than that, all you could really do was like get more health and get more mana. Whereas this one has added like the shells, I think they're called, or the badges in Hollow Knight. Shards, they might be called, and they're things that can change the way you play.
We love shard.
Big shard heads.
In the first one, I basically finished the game without getting certain moves.
And
I was like, I know there's a move that does this. Where is?
Yeah,
no, it's powerful to do that. The first time I played Super Metroid, I beat it without getting the wave beam.
That rolls. Mm.
I know it's powerful. Yeah. I just felt confused.
Yeah, well, and then when I replayed it, I got the wave beam real easy without thinking. It was just the next step. And I was like, how'd I miss this originally?
Maybe I'm dumb.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. It took me a little bit and then I was like, oh, I'm sucked off, which is nice because that's rare for me. I was like, oh, I'm probably sucked off in the game. Ori, for some reason, I don't really ever, I'm not like gunning to get to the next section. I'm really enjoying like there's like a lot of secrets and stuff to find where you're like, oh, where's the little extra life?
Enjoy living in the now and not thinking about the
future. Yeah, I'm not thinking about when I got to go talk to the big frog or whatever. I'm like, where's the little holes got a blue orb in them? one thing that I will say about Ori, well, okay, this first of all, because this is something I wanted to ask. In the first Ori, is the first like big thing you have to do involve making the water nice? And there's like a section where you're like, you're leaping away from water and as like a place is flooding or something like that. And then the water's pure again.
I remember that being an element. I don't know if it was the first thing you have to do, but yeah, it's been a while.
The exact same thing happens in Ori and the Will of the Wisp.
Okay.
Almost identically. And I was like,
a throwback.
For a brief second, I was like, did I accidentally download the first Ori? And I'm just, I just didn't realize. But no, it's the second one. It's just that the very first world is, or not, it's not the first world, but it's like one of the first big sections is just you purifying the water again. And I was like, that's weird.
Email in if you know what Jackson's talking about, because there is also a big chance, knowing your brain, that you've seen the trailer for this.
No, he's right. There was an element of like,
but maybe it happened later in the in the game, but it's kind of a shame.
Still, it doesn't matter where it happened in the game.
It's just funny. I'm like, it's the same thing. Oh, okay.
Are you fighting a big crow?
No, I've had to run away from a wolf and some weird darkness octopus.
Is your big mama still around?
Yeah, well, so the premise of Ori the Will of the Wisps is that an owl turns up and is a baby owl, but it can't fly because it sucks shit. But then it gets a magic feather, which I think was one of the power-ups in the first game.
Yeah.
The owl can fly and you get on the owl's back, but then you land in another magic kingdom across the sea. Oh no, and you've split up from the owl and you got to find him again. And then it's just Ori again. It's just do the different things, get your power-ups.
Get a sword this time though.
Yeah, so instead of it being that weird kind of like... yeah, you have like effectively a sword made of wisps as well. And I'm still pretty early in the game, and I've gotten most of the power-ups of the first game. So I'm assuming there's a lot more to come, which I think is kind of exciting.
Okay.
My only other real big criticism with Ori is that everything looks pretty similar. So I was thinking about comparing this to Hollow Knight. And in Hollow Knight, when you enter a new area, it is really obvious you've entered a new area. And everywhere looks really distinct. Mm-hmm. And the places that you will eventually need to use your like abilities and stuff are really obvious too. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, oh, I can't get to that section. But that's obviously because I don't have like the mega boost yet or whatever the hell. In Ori, it's way less clear. And it's very annoying sometimes. There's a lot of backtracking around being like, where the hell am I meant to go? Because it all looks so similar. And I think that's kind of a bummer. It makes some areas of the game very frustrating. And the maps are not very... Again, you know, like in Hollow Knight, you'd find the map fella and it would be like, bam, there's this section. And it's really obvious what this section is. This section is like the sewers or whatever. And then this section is the hidden city. And this section is the hive. In this one, it's like the misty woods, the hidden glen. And I'm like, it's what are you saying? Oh, the marsh and then the swamp and then the bog. And I'm like, it's all the same area. Oh, my God. So that's quite frustrating.
I think I remember that in Ori, like there wasn't that much variation in terms of sort of landscape. I think there was some here and there that was quite different.
Yeah.
But not enough.
No, definitely not enough. And it can become very frustrating, especially like you get the map and it'll be like, oh, okay, there's a section I've not gone to before because it's grayed out. And then you'll go to that section and you'll be like, I have no idea, like, what I'm meant to do to get there. I can't even fathom the upgrade that I will eventually get, which I know means that when I get that upgrade, I won't be thinking about finding that hidden area. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that means if you actually want to go back, it's like you got to start from the very beginning and scour every corner of the map, and it's just kind of a bit frustrating. But it does have a whole bunch of cool stuff, so, like, you can find Or that you can give to some builder fella and he'll do stuff like, oh, well, I'll get rid of all the brambles. And then you're like, oh, that's nice. And he's like, oh, I'll like change this about the entire kind of map, or I'll change this, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You get different like fighting moves as well, which are different upgrades as well. So you have quite a bit of variation in how you're playing, which I think is a lot of fun. And you can only map them to, you know, the four, like A, X, whatever, yeah. D, L, whatever
the buttons are.
Yeah.
Three. Yeah. I know
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I was going to answer correctly, but you know what? You don't care.
The four main buttons.
Yeah. A, B, C, X, D. Y.
That's it. So you can map them to those guys. But that means you can only really use four of the various moves at once, which is kind of fun. I like the limitation there.
Does the first Ori do that too?
No. The first Ori, you just have, I think...
These are the things you
these
have.
These are your abilities.
Oh.
Whereas in this one, it's like, well, I can use the bow and arrow, or I can map that to the flame blast or whatever, which sets people on fire.
Yeah. So it's kind of borrowing from Hollow Knight, where it was like, you can have different play styles.
Yeah, exactly.
So which I remember playing it with, you know, you did at the same time you're playing with it, and you're like, wow, your kit out is so much different to my kit out.
I think you went for, in Hollow Knight, you had like a bunch of the, like...
Little minion
Little minions that attack, and I was like, big sword energy, longest sword, toughest sword, which is cool. And I like that there's that variation there. But I can see myself with Ori being like, it's too big. There's too much to find. And I'm doing so much backtracking that in like, you know, the hour that I might take to play it, half of that was not achieving anything. It was just me being like, can I run up this wall? Is this just a jump that's particularly difficult? Or do I need a power up? And then, oh, I've wasted like, you know, 10 minutes on this jump only to realize actually the jump's not doable. It's just almost doable. And I don't know, that's kind of frustrating. But still, it's good. I'm going to keep playing it. This is kind of a first impression because I think it'll be a game I'll play, you know, for a while onward. So I'm probably going to give it like maybe 4 thumbs at the moment. It sucked me off. That's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. So yeah, let's go 4 thumbs for Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Don't know what the Wisps are yet and why it's the will of them that me and this owl got separated. Oh, I thought you got to play. You might get to play as the owl, but you don't. So actually 3.5 thumbs.
Same score as the porno game from last week.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, but that doesn't seem fair. The porno game was good. No tittos in Will of the Wisps.
Is it dropping down to 3 thumbs?
Maybe. It's all arbitrary. Anyway.
What if you squint? Is it maybe some tittos?
It's the least erotic game I've ever played.
That's big. Like,
yeah.
I was playing Spiritfarer with Adam in the house, and I got to a bit where you're meditating with a snake, and it's a very poignant moment. And he started bursting out laughing. And I'm like, why? He's like, I'm sorry if this is a very poignant moment, but the cliffside looks like really big balls and a very tiny dick.
Did it?
It did!
That rule.
Do you reckon it was intentional?
Yeah,
no,
I think so.
No.
An Easter egg for the eagle-eyed viewers.
Those on the hunt for penis, or your
a little bit of penis, a lot of ball.
Yeah. If you're a ball man,
part of the big sack gang.
Yeah,
that's the good shit. But yeah, no, probably realistically 4 thumbs I would give. 4 thumbs. The Will of the Wisps.
And obviously, everyone listening to this, please tweet LevDog to let him know that Jackson Bailey has played.
It's finished. I've reviewed it, and there'll probably be a part two. But I've done my due diligence. Part of the Faustian contract me and Levins have made is done, and now he has to review Podracer on his podcast, all the small games.
Or on this podcast.
Or on this podcast, he can come on here and do it too. If he can do both, that would be ideal.
Yeah. I don't think Podracing's an indie game.
I want to play Podracer again.
Do it. You have that power.
I might, dude. It rolls.
It's cool. Well,
maybe I do it mirrored now.
Well, now just for a quick word from our sponsors. Another excellent ad segment.
Incredible.
Thank you, sponsors.
Nailed it.
Right. So these people have emailed us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. And let me tell you, our inbox is again running on fumes. So please, any video game question you have,
any idle, meaningless thoughts, send it to us.
Tweet us at thumbcrampspod or email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
It would be greatly, greatly appreciated.
Want to hear our take on the hot new video game that's come out? I'm letting you know now, our take will be like, oh, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Want to hear us say that?
Well, in fact, this first email is from Dano, and
Dano.
We will be doing just that. Hey, boys, I haven't wrote to anyone, so I don't really know what to say, but SansPants Radio is the best podcast producer ever, and last year I listened to about 20,000 minutes of you guys.
I don't know if that's right.
I have Thanks to you, I have bought a Nintendo Switch and I am thinking about buying Immortals Fenyx Rising. What do you think about the game?
Is Immortals Fenyx Rising that one that's like, it's like...
People keep saying it's a Breath of the Breath Wild of the clone, Wild. But then there's other think pieces that are like, stop calling it a Breath of the Wild clone, it's another Breath of the Wild clone. And then other people are like, yeah, but you can't say it's not influenced by Breath of the Wild. And now everyone's just yelling all the time.
So, that one. So I also looked at like maybe picking it up because I'm like, hey, I kind of like, you know, really like Breath of the Wild. And this is like kind of a similar sort of vein. And yeah, I think a lot of people being like, it's basically just Breath of the Wild, but with Greek gods. And other people saying like, and also it's been inspired by, like, I think Assassin's Creed somewhat.
Made by the same people.
Yeah. So like the combat is very much, apparently very much Assassin's Creed-y.
Let me tell you, if it was still called Gods and Monsters, I'd own it.
But what is putting me off though is the humor. The game.
I've
heard it's very quippy, and I'm not there for that.
Yeah, it looks busy. If I'm going to play a Breath of the Wild clone, I'm going to play that weird anime one that I keep getting advertised on YouTube, Genshin Impact or something. The one? It looks like somehow it's a scam.
It's a free...
Yeah.
It's like... Online three players?
I have no idea, but I get it advertised so often that whenever anybody says Breath of the Wild clone, that's what I think of.
Anyway, Dano, apparently it's good. If you like games that have quips, well, not even that. If you just have no issue with quips in video games, give it a go. We haven't played it, but I reckon at some point one of us will buy it and then we'll all want to play it.
Yeah, that is very possible. Such a shame, that dislike of quips, you know? I think I could get into the, like, gameplay loop of a Borderlands if it wasn't for that, you know?
Well, it depends what sort of games do it. Like, Paper Mario, which I thought was a very, like, it was a very funny game.
Yeah,
like, there were some moments that was, like, genuinely funny. Again, I'm not laughing out loud because, again...
It's rare to laugh out loud by yourself.
Yeah. Again, all it took was a...
It's always nice when you do, though, where you're like, whoa, that must have been funny.
Yeah. But, like, there was genuine moments where I was like, ah, it's pretty funny, and didn't get it all grating.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
Nintendo's usually pretty good, especially the Paper Mario games, are usually pretty good with humor. If they're going to be funny, they go for, like, a weird funny, and you're like, oh, yeah, that surprised me.
Well, it's kind of a...
Well, sometimes they include a slur in a Mario Party game, and they're like, this is fine. Yeah, and everyone's like, no.
No, Nintendo, please
don't. That's not fine at all.
I think it's, like, when it's this weird kind of... And I don't know if this is even fair, but it feels like an internet humor that a game will pull out, which I think Borderlands does. And you're like,
Borderlands is only internet
humor. Yeah, and you're like, something about this is so grating because you sound like it's like hanging out with the worst guy at the party, you know? Yeah,
and I think Fenyx Rising is the vibe of that ilk.
Yeah.
But look, I'm curious. Yeah, I'll probably give it a bash at some point when it's on sale.
Yeah, I'll probably do the same thing.
For sure.
Right, next email is from Ethan. Dear Thumbcrams boys, what is the best game on the Nintendo DS? If you must, you can pick a game from one of the many iterations of the DS, i.e. the DSi, the 3DS, the DSXL, whatever else they did. Thanks.
That's a lot of DS.
Okay, so Ethan, first of all, thank you for the option. We will not be going through every DS and telling you which game's the best, because I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, they're all the same to me.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, hey.
I played that good choice. On the DS. Maybe the only game I played on the DS. No, wait, didn't Ocarina on
yeah, Ocarina, yeah, Ocarina, that, Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I feel like that there was some pretty good games for a very small period of time. I feel like that the Nintendo 3DS for like 2 years had like a game that like blew everyone away every three months and then stopped.
Did Blast Corps get a port for the DS?
No. I don't know, but I liked a couple.
WarioWare Gold.
Yeah. was Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga for the DS?
I think it got ported onto the DS.
I'll take it, because I never played any of the others.
Yeah.
That game was fun.
The one, I think it's... Mario and Luigi, something, Partners in Time.
Partners in Time. I never played that.
That one's good because you're baby Mario and baby Luigi and Mario and Luigi at the same time.
That is
sick. Fun and silly.
Super Mario and Luigi, the Superstar Saga, I played up about 2/3 of twice and it glitched out and I lost everything. But I went back, so... Yeah.
The enemies are beans?
Yeah, it's a fun game. Yeah. I also played maybe...
Do you reckon that's a commentary on Italians versus the English?
I think so.
Yes.
I think I played also Alpha Ruby or whatever the Ruby and Sapphire remakes were.
Pokemon Black and White are probably my favorite Pokemon games. They were DS games.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Scribblenauts, I think I played on the DS.
Yeah, that's come up too many times in this episode.
It really has. For a game I really didn't care for. Yeah. It's come up. It
looks like clip art.
Yeah, it's gross. It's a yucky game. That's about it, I think, for games.
I feel like I'm going to go home and look at my shelf where I can see my DS games and be like, the doy.
Yeah.
A thing that I don't think I've ever said out loud before.
Yeah. How did it feel?
Really bad.
Yeah, it was bad being in.
Yeah,
within...
I tell you what, listening, not great.
Mm. I was not into that, dude.
Yeah. I'll probably look at my shelf and just shit my pants.
That's more like, that makes me feel happy. Yeah. I'm more comfortable now. Yeah, I know I had, because I had a DS for a very brief period of time, and I had like four games, and there are two that are just lost of time.
Yeah,
I have
both
no idea
the
what
Nintendo 64 Zelda ports were good.
Yeah.
You like...
Minish Cap? No, that's
no,
Game
you like
Advance
the other one,
against.
The train one.
Spirit Tracks! I like Spirit Tracks only because of the panpipe overworld theme and rules. And because it's like someone clearly loved trains heaps and was and got control of the Zelda franchise and everyone presumably hates them for it. And that rules.
All right. Just to help our memory, best 3DS
this is what we should have
games
done. Yeah,
ever. Of all time.
Yeah.
All time.
What's your favorite DS games? And then we look it up and we know for sure.
Yeah.
Because an article would not be wrong. Could not be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, A Link Between Worlds is the original Zelda game for.
Oh, yeah, for DS.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, look, that's pretty much the only one we didn't mention.
Well, we'll say that.
Shovel Knight was also a DS game
first.
Never
played Shovel Knight.
No, I wasn't into it. Now, you know what? I'm going to stick with Minish Cap, which I don't think was for the DS, but that game rules. So, Minish Cap is my answer.
Yeah, maybe I'll default back to Blast Corps.
Yeah.
Blast Corps.
And I'm going to say. Zelda, but all of them.
Yeah, there you go.
And if you want to send us an email, you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod, or you could simply follow us at thumbcrampspod. That's good, too. Retweet our tweets.
Yeah. We got stuff to say.
And today's episode, so...
Five,
10 for Spiritfarers, four for Scott Pilgrim versus four thumbs at Anaku. So that's 14 and a
third. Oh, plus the other star system. Because
Star system, we reviewed the movie. 35 thumbs.
35 whole thumbs.
Maybe a couple
seven
of
stars.
Beautiful. A beautiful score.
Another great episode.
Well done, gang.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Joel.
And video games.
Keep gaming. Don't stop.
Watch Scott Pilgrim or don't.
Video games are really the gaming of the future.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
20 cyberpunks.
2020 games. Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.